Okay. Good morning. Sunday sponsorship. Benjamin and Ellis Wall, from all of us who do not have the privilege to attend personally in the Beis Medrash, but are truly blessed by the self-sacrifice of Moshe Abramson and Jeremy Lason, who enable us to, right, enveloped in the Gemara, as masterfully presented by Rabbi Silber, may Hashem and his wisdom reward those volunteers in measures for the Torah they allow us to obtain. Very nice. Jack Bennett, in memory of Sergeant Nikolai Rappaport of the Givati Brigade, who was nifter in a Hezbollah ambush in southern Lebanon in 98, and also by Jerry and Abby Applebaum in commemoration of the yahrzeit of Jerry's mother, Rosalind Applebaum. Yahrzeit is 26th of Av. Nisham should have an aliyah. And we do thank those indeed. You did the Mishnah on Peches, Amud Beis, which we're going to look over, but it's a fascinating Mishnah, because you have here a situation where throughout our existence, we're always told to ignore rumors, and you have to make your decisions based on facts. And here you have a Mishnah that on the surface is basically telling us that you have to take rumors into consideration. So how do you deal with it? So I say that it appears to be a challenge on the surface, because when you go through today's daf, things become extremely clear. Okay, so the Gemara does an amazing job in fixing our first perception of this Mishnah. Now, let's look over the Mishnah again, if that's okay. Yotza shma ba'ir mekudeshes. If there's a rumor regarding a woman that she's mekudeshes, hareza mekudeshes. Megureshes, and the assumption now is that you have here a woman that's married to a Kohen, and suddenly there are rumors that she was once upon a time married to someone else, megureshes. And yeah, you have to take it into consideration. You knock on the door on the Cohen family and you say, I'm sorry to inform you that there are rumors your wife was once married. Goodbye, right? That's what it appears to say on the surface. Megureshes, right? Now, obviously, it can't be telling us that a woman is considered divorced by just rumors. So the assumption is it means that when she is married, you have to, you know, undo the marriage based on a rumor. Makes no sense, obviously. Now, we are told, if there is something that breaks the rumor, in other words, if the rumor spreads with some information that has the ability to undo it, so then you don't have to concern yourself. And here already it appears to be telling us the following. The concern for a rumor is that people, human nature is such that they take the rumor as a fact. And then if it is ignored, people are going to assume that the halach is ignored. In other words, if let's say there's a rumor, a woman, yeah, she's married. And then next thing you know, she's marrying someone else. What's going to happen? People are going to make an assumption that, this marriage thing that the rabbis came up with, it's not so serious. So it's a concern that you're going to impact the law and not think through the facts. But if the rumor itself spread with something that was able to undo it, there's no longer a concern. So this is what the Mishnah is already telling us here, that it's providing some clarity. What's considered an amatlo? Ezi amatlo, says the Mishnah, girish ish plonius ishto al tnai. Okay, that there was some kind of stipulation. So then, in other words, if the rumors are spreading that this woman, right, was divorced, but there was a stipulation that she has to provide something. So if it's ignored, they're going to assume that the tnai was not fulfilled. So they could work it out. And so to kiddushin, it was safek korov lo. We had already the situation that the money or whatever he presents her was thrown to her. There's a question mark if it reached her domain or not. So if we ignore it, people are going to assume that's because the rabbis did some research and it became clear to them that it was not in her domain. So if something within the rumor gives us the ability to undo the rumor, then we could be safe. Okay, all right. Zohi Amatla. So that's the Mishnah, which you know from yesterday. Now, the Gemara asked the very obvious question about the rumor about Gerushin. Va'asrinon la agavra. In other words, you're telling me that you have a woman married to a Kohen, and suddenly there are rumors that she was once divorced. You're going to prohibit her on her husband? That's ridiculous. V'homa Ravashi. Ravashi tells us, kol kolo debosar nisuin, whenever you have a rumor, and the rumor only started to develop after her marriage, you don't take that into consideration. So what's the Mishnah talking about here? So therefore, the way to understand the Mishnah is that this is one case, Kiddushin, Gerushin, and this is what we are being told. Hochi Ka'omar, this is what the Mishnah is telling us. Yotza Shma Ba'ir Mekudeshes, if there's a rumor that she was married to someone, or she went through stage number one of marriage, Hareza Mekudeshes. Okay. If on the other hand, the rumor was mekudeshes umegureshes, if the rumors were, yeah, that this lady, someone gave her kiddushin, they were playing around as teenagers. One fellow, a young man, walked over to him and said, I ran mekudeshesli. The rabbis got nervous. They gave her a get. If the rumor is a package deal, complete, it has within it all the information that she had also kiddushin and also gerushin. So then on the top of Peites, we are told, Harezu megureshes. And she is what? Worry not. She is considered megureshes. Now, what's your thought? Would it be permissible if, let's say, such circumstances would occur indeed and rumors circulate? She was mekudeshes u megureshes. Could she marry a Kohen? Interesting question. Because on the surface, you would say, well, it would be problematic. She can't marry a Kohen because you're aligning on it. But if you look carefully, Rashi seems to say umuteres lakol, which seems to indicate, there's a Chassam Sofer that discusses it, that it seems to be that it tells us that it undoes it completely, and it's like, just as we mentioned in the Mishnah Masla, that there's something that is able to undo it, here too, perhaps, a little bit more complicated, as you can imagine. But that's how we understand the case of Megureshes in the Mishnah. It's not an independent case, but it's connected to the case of Kiddushin. My taima, now what's the reason? Kol v'shavro imo. There's a kol, yes, there is a rumor, but with it, you have something that is able to undo it. Okay. Now, comes Rava. And Rava, and if you tune in carefully in today's daf, you'll see how the Chachamim, one after another, almost in all cases, are trying to minimize this. In other words, we don't want you to walk away believing that in Judaism we just take rumors as facts, right? You have to investigate things. So keep that in mind as we do today's daf, and you'll hear many of that Amoraim, and in some cases Tanaim, who are clarifying what we are being told. So number one comes Rav, and he says the following. This is obviously in Amora. Yotza lo shem mezano ba'ir. If, let's say, you have rumors that unfortunately she was hanging out with non-Jews, and she had a relationship with a non-Jew, and as a result, she cannot be marrying a Kohen. So there are rumors. Says Rava, Ein Choshashin lo. Concern yourself not. You could ignore it. And that's the halacha. My time. What's the reason? Because you could assume that all they saw was perhaps behavior that is not within the norm, right? Perhaps the behavior was problematic, but not to such an extent that there was actually a relationship. So here we are, Rava clarifies his statement. My taima, what's the reason? Pritzusa ba'alma, some pritzut, some, you know, breaking of boundaries. Every society, obviously, you have to assess what's considered a pritzut, right? It's not objective. In other words, the behavior that would be acceptable, perhaps in Baltimore, would be maybe problematic in Masharm. I think you would agree that every society, and you have to respect what a society. If you land up in Monroe, Kiryas Yael, you have to be aware of the practices there. So like you are breaking a boundary, and every community has their boundaries, and it doesn't mean one's right and one's wrong, just something to be aware of. Pritsusa Ba'alma, they saw that she was breaching boundaries. Hudechazula, that's what they saw. In other words, they saw that she was breaching a boundary. And perhaps the people who saw it come from a place that it's not the norm. And that's how the rumor started. That's what Rava. So Rava tells us, do not take a rumor. Do not take a call that a woman's mizana as a fact. And she could marry even a Kohen. And we're going to say that, by the way, Kitanoi, we're going to present here three Tanoim, and one of them matches Rava. Which one? So let's tune in. Kitanoi. Ochla Bashuk. Okay, so what's the case? A woman is eating in the marketplace in a location where this is not the norm. Gir Gira Bashuk. In other words, she showed her Garon. And if there's a community, they have the custom of perhaps covering that area, or perhaps she extended it beyond the norm. So rumors start. Gir gira bashuk. Henika bashuk. She nursed in the marketplace. Okay? All these things are, in some communities, seem to be problematic. Bekulon rameir omer teitze. So comes rameir, opinion number one, and he says, that's it. She has a reputation, a problematic reputation, and you know, we could assume that it's talking about in a situation that she's married to a Kohen. You find out that beforehand. Rameir says, Tate said the marriage needs to be put to an end. So obviously Rava is not following what Rameir says. Opinion number two, Rabbi Akiva Omer, no. When do you start taking rumors into consideration? Mesheyisu veitnu, when you have conversations between the muzarot balevana. When the muzarot balevana are having conversations about women, if you want to find out what's happening, right, you have to join the chat group of the muzarot balevana, and then you'll know exactly what's happening. Who are these Muzarot Balevana? So Rashi points out that these were women who would go out at night, and they would be weaving, and they schmooze there. They schmooze there. And all the rumors of town, you want to find out what's happening in town? That's the right place to be, like the Sheitelmachers, perhaps, right? That's where the conversation, that's where you find out everything. Comes Rabbi Akiva, and he says, you want to know what's happening, and you want to know when there's a problem? When the conversations reach the Muzarot Balvana. Now, Rava seems not to be following that school, because Rava tells us, Shemezana Bayir Ein Choshishim. So who's Rava following? Omar lo Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says, come on. Imken, you know, if you're going to start taking into consideration what's being discussed there. Lo hinachto bas le'avrom avinu sheyosheves tahas balo. You know, all marriages are going to come to an end. Jesus, start relying on these rumors. You're not going to allow a daughter of Avram Avinu to remain under a husband. And come on, open the Torah. Vatorah Amra. Look at the language of the Torah. When, indeed, is there a need for a divorce? Kimotzobo ervas dovor, right? It has to be that there's a matter that relates to arayos, to morality. And the word dover is a key to teach us that it's not just based on rumors, v'lahalanu omer, later on when we address the topic of testimony. Al pi shnaim edim, al pi shlosha edim, you need two, and in some cases three, or perhaps to tell us that two are like three, as we know, yokum dover. And here's the key, the word dover appears regarding testimony. The word dover appears regarding arayos, immorality, so therefore it has to be malaholon dover barur. When are you going to go ahead and impact the marriage of a bas of Avram Avinu when it's a dover barur? When it's clear. Testimony, afkan dover barur. Okay? So you have Rava. Rava makes, you get the idea where, what the direction of this daf is. Rava is telling us, come on, don't take a rumor into consideration. Yochanan ben Nuri is very, very clear, and that is the halacha. And now we're going to provide again another list from perhaps another base medrash that makes it very, very clear. Don't take these rumors into consideration. There are times you have to, but don't see it as the norm in Judaism. Tana Rabbonon, and here's the list. Be'ula in choshishin lo. Let's say there's a rumor. A rumor. And Rashi understands this to mean that there's a young lady that wants to marry the Kohen Gadol. And there's a rumor that she once had a relationship. And a Kohen Gadol has to marry a Besula. Or Tosfos says, no, it means that there's a rumor that a woman had a relationship. And once she had a relationship, you don't know with who. And if you don't know with who, she can't be marrying a Kohen because maybe it was with a non-Jew. So whatever it is, Be'ula, if there's such a rumor, Ein Choshishin Lo. Okay. Now there are those who have a girsa chalutza in chotzla. If there's a rumor that she had chalitza, don't worry about it. Don't take it into consideration. Nesua en choshishin lo. So too, if there is a rumor regarding a young lady that she's already married to someone else, don't en choshishin lo. Arusa en choshishin lo. So too, if there's a rumor, a call, she's arusa en choshishin lo. What about shelo liploni? In other words, that there are rumors that she is engaged, right? That she is already arusa, but not to the person that she's planning to marry, right? Niskachos ein choshishin lo. Be'ir acheres, if it's occurring, it occurred in a different city, that there's a rumor that, or Rashi learns that there's a rumor that she's getting married today, but in a different city. Do we take that in consideration? Ein choshishin lo. So to mamzeres in choshishin lo. There's a rumor that she's a mamzeres. Don't take that into consideration. Shivcha in choshishin lo. There was a rumor that she has the status of a shivcha. In choshishin lo. Okay. Hikdish ploni nechosov. If let's say there's a fellow who has a stand and he's giving out drinks and someone starts spreading a rumor, there's a rumor that it's hegdish, ein choshishin lo, no problem. Hifkir ploni nechosov, ein choshishin lo, don't take that into consideration if there's a rumor that the property of so-and-so is ownerless. Work with the norms. Don't take into consideration these rumors. Okay? Now, comes Ula, and Ula, as one of the Amoraim, is going to tell us, you want to know when you take into consideration things? So let me tell you when you do, right? And what the Mishnah is talking about. And this is only going to be half of the story, but a very important half. Omar Ula, okay? Comes Ula, and he says, that you should know, when we do have in our tradition, when we do have the Mishnah telling us that you do take into consideration of Mekudeshes, lo sheshamu kol havara. Don't think that they only heard an echo. Don't think that they only heard rumors. Absolutely not. But rather, that there are facts that indicate that something is going to take place and something took place. What does that mean? Elokidei. So here we are provided the norm of what a wedding looked like, right? Some 1800 years ago. In other words, if circumstances look that there's a wedding, right? Ever happened that you come to a shul and there's a social hall and you realize that everything's set up and there's a chuppah and there's table and there's sushi, right? So there's a clear indication that a big simcha is taking place. That is where the rumor, that's what you take into consideration, okay? And that's part of what's needed to actually take a call into consideration. So here we go. Elok do number one, Neros Dolkos, indicating that you need, that a wedding has within it candles. And today in many communities, it's the norm that when people walk down their children to the chuppah, they'd have what? They carry a candle. Obviously, then it was necessary because the electric company was not working yet at the time. So if you are very traditional, you always stick to the old traditions and you work with your candle. If you know, others rely on the electricity. But bottom line is, it shouldn't be a wedding in the dark, right? Neros Dolkos, number one. Number two, Mitos Mutsos. Beds served as couches. You would make your bed, right? If there was a big event, don't tell this to teenagers, that when there's a significant event, you would make the mitot, right? The couches that would be set up beautifully with nice linen. That's an indication that something big is going to occur. Ubnei Adam nichnosim v'yotzim, and there are people going in and out, so you don't have to walk into the wedding hall to know that there was a wedding. The omrim, and what do they say? Plonis, a specific woman, miskadeshes hayom. Now, this all sounds good to an extent because the language of the Gemara is it's in a future tense, right? That tonight she's going to be married. Now, that should not be enough for testimony. Now, things that are going to occur are not enough to be confident that it actually occurred. So the Gemara says, well, wait a second, miskadeshes. How do you know? Maybe she got cold feet. So how do you know? Ema, so therefore we have to clarify it. And most probably what the Gemara is telling us is that there was a conversation about her getting married before. And then afterwards there are those that said, Taki, yes, fact is she did get married. Plonis niskacho hayom. Period. Now, Ula making it very, very clear. Rumors are nothing. When do you take rumors into consideration? When there are facts that indicate that something took place. And we're going to see soon that it's very possible that even that is not enough, that you have to have some witnesses, right? You have to start, you know, a wedding is a wedding, yes, but you need the Edim. What about the Edim? We'll see soon how they fit into the picture. Now, don't think that Ula is the only one that views it in this way. V'chen Tani Levi. Levi taught the same way. Lo she'ish mekol avora. No, and again, the Gemara is going to spell that out to make it very clear. This is what's needed. Ela k'div she'uneiros dolkos. Okay? Levi says the same thing. Mitos mutzos. The couches made beautifully. V'noshim tovos l'or haner. And you also have, he does add that you have the women, right? Going, you know, weaving or making the material necessary for the wedding. V'smei choslo. And they are happy there. V'omros. And what statement are they making? Plonis miskadeshes hayom. And Gemara asks miskadeshes. Same question. V'dilum aloi katsha. Omer Rav Papa. So Rav Papa clarifies. Ema plonis niskatsha hayom. Same idea. Comes from Levi. Comes from Ula. Okay. There's no question that you have to have the facts. Next authority that presents it this way. Amar Rabba bar Bar Chana Amar Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan also. Lo sheshomu kol avoro k'dei shioneros dolkos mitos mutzos. Bnei Adam nichnasim miyomtsim. Right? Now, but he says the following. Omru dovar. If they say that statement, if they say plonis niskacho, if that statement is uttered by the people coming in and out, Zehu kol. Then you have a call. Loi omru davar. Now this is going to need some level of clarification. If they didn't say it, so what I would expect the Gemara to say now is, if they didn't say plonis niskacha, it's nothing. No, what does the Gemara say? Zehu amatlo. Then you have a rumor with something that breaks it, which is, it's unclear. There's no rumor at all. If they're not saying anything, right? No one's saying here plonis niskacha. Maybe it's a mock wedding. Maybe it's a color war breakout wedding. How do you know that it's an actual? So the language here is a little bit problematic, right? And we're going to address it right now. Lo omru davar zeu amatlo. So Gemara asks, wait a second. Loi omru. If they didn't say anything, ha v'haloi omru v'loi klum. They didn't say anything. But what are you talking about? So the Gemara is going to tell us the following, that you should know that there is an opinion that was circulating, and the rabbis felt that they have to say that we don't follow that opinion. What is that opinion? You know, we know that the amatla, which is something that is able to undo a rumor, right, is important, because a rumor that spreads with an amatla means that the rumor is nothing. What about, If you have a situation that there is a rumor that circulates, and let's say, as we'll see soon, the Beis Din verifies that there's something to it, and then a few days later, people find out that there is an amatla. In other words, you have a situation that there's a rumor that a young lady got a kiddushin from another young man, okay, and it's circulating, and everyone's talking about it, and it reached the Beis Din. And the Beis Din does some investigations. And yes, they find out that there was such an issue. But then 5, 6, 7, 8 days later, they find out that yes, there was kiddushin, but he threw it towards her and it wasn't clear that it was next to her. It could have been next to him. What happens if the amatla shows up later? That's the question. So there is an opinion that says, you know what, up until 10 days, we could take it into consideration. That is known as the opinion of Rabba bar Rav Huna. Now, other authorities don't agree with him. And they say, listen, if it's a strong rumor and you want to undo it with an amatla, it has to be that the amatla, right, shows up immediately. And this is what's being addressed here. So listen to how the Gemara is going to analyze these words. That you should know the language of this brisa is here, le'afuke, to what? To exclude or to reject the opinion of Rabba bar Rav Huna. What does Rabba bar Rav Huna, de Omar, amatlo sha'amru, he, Rabba bar Rav Huna, believed that amatlo sha'amru afilu mikan ve'ad yud yomim. Even if up until 10 days later you have the question mark on the rumor, you could take the question mark to undo the rumor. That's what he says. But what we are being told now in the name of Rav Yochanan, Kamash Malon, Loy Omru, when do you say that it's an amatlo? Who de have amatlo? In other words, if you go ahead and within the statement itself, within the statement itself, you have something that is able to undo it, and it shows up immediately, then you have a matlo. Ha-omru, but if it's a clear-cut statement, right? If there's a clear-cut rumor, and no question marks on it, and only afterwards, a few days later, you have the question marks, in such a case, lo have a matlo. So therefore, it's an analysis of the language to go ahead and disprove the opinion of Rabba bar Rav Huna. Okay. Now, what we have up until this point is that to take a rumor into consideration, you have to have circumstantial evidence that the environment indicates that something happened. What we are being told now, what we're going to be told now, is that it has to be that there's testimony, and you could start tracing a paper trail. In other words, you could start finding out who were the witnesses and who did they hear it from. Then you start tracking where did the rumor spread from. That's what sometimes, that's very, very logical, that when there's a rumor, you ask a person, who did you hear it from, okay? And you try to find the source. And then you find the source, and then you start asking some serious questions. That is how you could perhaps undo a rumor or perhaps verify that the rumor has something to it. So here we're going to introduce a new angle. So angle number one was the circumstances. Angle number two is to put some research into the testimony itself. And here we go. Omar Rav Abba, Omar Rav Huna, Omar Rav. Okay, what are we going to be told? Lo sheshamu kol havara. Again, don't think that a rumor is based on what's just being told. That is not the way we function. But rather, elo, kidei sheyomru, the people say, ploni meichan shama, that after some investigations, and as we'll see soon, it's the courts that do those investigations. So-and-so, who's spreading it? Where did he hear it from? Me ploni, uploni me ploni, ubodkin veholchin, and they continue tracing the source, ad shemagi'in ledovar haborur. Until they've reached something that is clear. What's considered clear in halacha? Dovar haborur is what? Edus Yeah, no, so Gemara asked the question, wait a second. It can't be that you are tracing it to such an extent that you reach two witnesses and you find that two witnesses who were standing there under the chuppah and they say, yes, we were there. That can't be, because then it's not a rumor. Then it's a fact. So this needs some level of clarification. Dover aboror edus ma'al yasohu. That's considered a bona fide testimony. Elo, but rather what it means is the following. Ki asar Rav Shmo Rav Yudah Omer Rav Abba Omer Rav, Huna Omer Rav. In other words, the first statement that was shared by Rav Abba in the name of Rav Huna in the name of Rav leaves us with a question mark. So therefore, it was clarified after by Rav Shmo Bar Yehuda, who explains what Rav Abba said in the name of Rav Huna in the name of Rav. Lo Shishamu Kol Havara. Not a rumor, but rather, okay, and here we have it. And this is halacha again. Ela kidei shiyomru. That people say, ploni mechan shama meploni, uploni meploni. In other words, yes, you find out who were the original two witnesses who spread the information. And as you want to walk over to them and interview them, what happens? Where are they? They went to Argentina. Right there, gone. That's the situation. That is the case where there's rumor, where you have names, where you have names. And many Rishonim say you can't find out that they're dead because that's worthless. It means that they're gone. They could theoretically come back. And therefore, if I say I heard from Reuven and Shimon, Reuven and Shimon happen to be now in the Congo, right? So by identifying two individuals who I heard it from, right, and claiming that they are alive, they happen to be away, that indicates that I'm quite confident with my testimony that I heard from them because they might come back. In other words, if I say I heard from Reuven and Shimon and they're dead, right? People that share a psak from some rabbi who's no longer alive, it's always a question mark because, you know, he ain't coming back, to go ahead and reject the statement. But if I say in the name of someone who is alive and well, it's much stronger. So that's the situation, okay? So suddenly you realize here, when are rumors serious? When you take them to consideration, number one, when there are circumstances, and number two, that we could actually, right, trace it back to two witnesses, and these two witnesses happen to not be here, then you take it into consideration. And there's a Maharal, actually, that says that you need both. You need that the circumstances indicate that there was a wedding, and number two, that you could actually link it to two individuals who happen not to be here. This clarifies what our mission is talking about, okay? V'holchu lohem lemdinas hayom. Okay, now comes the following question. And this is how the second of Rashi and Tosfos explaining the next line. Let's say rumors spread. The Beis Din goes ahead and is doing their research. They find out from two people that they heard from two people, right, from two Edim. And when they want to ask the original Edim, we are told they are overseas. Okay? So you have to take the rumor into consideration. Because number one, it appeared that there was a wedding. Number two, we have two names. And we are saying in their name that they saw. They saw the ring being placed on the young lady's finger. You got to take it into consideration. Okay? Not so shocking. They come back, these two witnesses, after a few months. And these are a few months that, unfortunately, this young lady has a status of Isha Mekudeshes. The two witnesses come back right off the boat. They interview them. And the two witnesses say, Lo hayu dvarim me'olam. What are you talking about? We were never there. I don't know what you're talking about. So now the problem is we have a little bit of a problem. Because throughout this community, there's a rumor, which in everyone's mind is a fact. So there is suddenly a fact that there's a young lady that is Mekudeshes. If you're going to go out and say, don't worry about it, anyone can marry her, what's going to happen? People are going to not make assumptions that the woman is not engaged, but rather that the halacha perhaps is very, very flexible, which could be a problem. So can you be mevatel a kola? Okay? Does a Beis Din get up and say, the rumors are not true, right? Does that work? You know, sometimes one of the best ways, you know, for a politician to make a rumor a fact is to get up and say, you know, I'm no crook, right? In other words, you have to make such statements to indicate. So it's very, very sensitive here. So obviously you're going to have more than one way to look at it. Now, Omar le Abaye le Rav Yosef. So Abaye asked Rav Yosef. Let's say the two witnesses come back and they say, La hadam lo hayu dvarim me'olam. Mevatlinan kala alo mevatlinan. Ooh. Do you nullify? Do you not nullify? Okay. So Omar le, Rav Yosef says to him the following. Mida Omar Rav Chiz, do you know Rav Chiz the taught that this idea of rumors works with the same guidelines as testimony? And therefore, if you are working with the guidelines of testimony, just as with a testimony, when the witnesses say, we didn't see anything, there's no testimony, so to hear, mid'omer Rav Chisda ad sheyishmu mepiksherim, since Rav Chisda taught that the only way you take it into consideration is if there is testimony that it was heard from two actual witnesses, so you're following the guidelines of testimony. So therefore, just as if two witnesses come to court and they say, we didn't see anything, they didn't see anything, so to hear, therefore, shma mino, you know what you could derive from here? And this is what the halach is, by the way, especially in something that's rabbinic, mevatlinan kolo, that in such a case, the court has the responsibility of getting up and notifying everyone that we've researched the matter and the rumors are not true. Mevatlinan kolo. And we don't have to concern ourselves that people are going to start questioning if religious law perhaps is extremely flexible and we could ignore parts of it. Mevatlinan kolo. This is what we are told. This is what Rama Rutenberg tells us is the halacha. Abaye says to him, Amar le, Adrabo, you know, I could look at it in a different way. Mid omer av sheshes rab sheshes taat afil mepinoshim. In others, there's a different school that rumors are to be taken into consideration even if it is not from kosher edim, like women. Havikol, shma mino, that would indicate that the guidelines are completely different. It's not it does not follow the guidelines of testimony, but rather it has its own set of laws. And if it has its own set of laws, lo mevatlina kol, you're not going to nullify it. So there are different schools here. And Rav Yosef says to him, you know what? You're right. You're right. Different communities had different practices. Omar le asravsa ninu. There are different communities had different practices. So we're going to go here and visit the most prominent communities in Bavel at the time. Sura and Nahardoa, the city of Rav and the city of Shmuel. And here we go. Besura and the city of Rav, mevatlinan kolo. They felt, you know, that you have to be mevatel kol. It could be, some of the Rishonim say, that it was also the nature of the city itself, that in some communities, they took rumors as facts. And therefore, the Beis Din has the achrayas, has the responsibility to go ahead and get up and proclaim it's not true. In other communities, what? They would only start spreading rumors if it has basis. So in such a community, lo mevatlin kalo. Okay, so that could be how it's understood. Besur mevatlin kalo, benahardo lo mevatlin kalo. Okay, so there are different schools. La halacha, as mentioned, we are mevatel kalo. And here we go. There was once a story of a woman, the ikacho, that there was a woman, received kiddushin, lebar bei rav, to one of the students of the yeshiva. So they had to do some research. They call in the father of the young lady. Asya Rav Chama lavo. Rav Chama brings the father. Omale imali, please tell me. Heche have uvda. Give me all the details. Give me all the information. And this is after there's a rumor, and it appears that this was a strong rumor, either with circumstantial evidence, in addition to witnesses. Omar le, and the father adds, and again, this is information that was not part of the rumor. It shows up later. And he says, Al tnai kodish. There was a tnai. meaning the young man gave the woman some item of value, said, Hareyat mekudeshesli, but I'm telling you now, even though you didn't hear it 5 days ago, that it was altnai. Adaito, that the intention was, delo ozil lebei chuzoi, that the chosin should not go to bei chuzoi, but the problem is, he went. Oh, so the father thought, okay, I'm providing here to the rabbi information that indicates that we could undo the rumor. Omar Lay said to him, that doesn't work. Kevan de Be'idna, since that at the time, the Havekolo, when the rumor spread and it was a rumor that, you know, had some merit to it, Lo Have Amatla, it was lacking the Amatla at the time. Lav Kol Kaminach, you do not have the power. De Machsak Amatla, your Amatla is no good, and therefore we have to take this into consideration. Now, another story, and this story will indicate that when there is within the original story some weakness, that weakness can be used to undo the rumor. Story number two. Haid, there was a woman, that she was mikudeshed with some kind of basket with leftover dates. These are dates that still had some flesh on it. Not of great value, especially in Babylonia, where everyone had, excuse me, not grapes, dates. The dates had pits. The pits had some flesh on it. Some value it did have, nothing too great. But the rumor was that the young man hands the young lady this basket with leftover pits, with some flesh on it. Be'ino de be'shifi, they even had a location where it occurred. So the question was, due to the fact that this was only a call, a rumor. So they sent to Abaye and asked him, "Ki ay gavno?" In this situation, my, what's the halacha? Omar le afilu lemanda Omar. He said to him the following: even according to those who believe that in general lo mevatlin kala, beha, in this case, I am confident mevatlin kala. There's no question why. Meimar Omri, because people are going to say, listen, the case itself and the way the rumor is circulating is with information that the item might have had very little value. And therefore, people are going to say, Inu b'rabonam b'kiddushel, the rabbis were ma'ayin, and the rabbis looked into the details, and they found out, v'lohav b'ushev pruta, and there was the value of the flesh on the pits of the date had so little to it, not very, you know, romantic, obviously, but halachically, there's no concern at all. So therefore, since it's not a Shavah Pruta, it's not enough for a Kiddushin. Okay, there was once a rumor about a woman, the Ikacha Amud Beis, Lechad Mibnei Planya, that there was a young lady that she got engaged to one of, you know, the Goldstein boys, and there were 11 of them. Okay, and we don't know which one. It was only a rumor, right? Only a rumor. So what do you take it into consideration? So comes again Rava. Rava says, you should know, afilu lamanda omar lo mevatlin kala, even according to those who say that a call is something that unfortunately we don't have the ability or the right to be mevatel. Beho mevatlin an kala. Why meimar omri, we could go ahead and say, inu bu rabonam bekidushay, okay, that they analyzed which one, and they realized that the one the father wanted to marry off was the youngest, and the youngest was not yet the age of marriage. So in other words, since the rumor itself was not about a specific young man that was able to enter into an air marriage relationship, but rather one of the sons, and since one of those sons was still a minor, they could use that to undo the rumor. Next, so there was a problem that there was a young boy that physically was very, very mature, but he was still a minor. And the rumor was that he walked over to a young lady, Harayan Mekudeshesli. So the question is, you have to take that in consideration, because if you are working with what people assume, people are going to assume that this young, you know, that this young nine-year-old who is 6'1", right, they're going to assume that he's an adult. And if you're going to allow her to marry someone else, people are going to say, what do you mean? You know, she's a married woman. Omar le, Rav Mordechai le Rav Ashi. Rav Mordechai says to Rav Ashi, Hava uvda. You know, there was once such a case. V'omru, and they said, And here we have Chachomim using a verse from Shiras Dvora. And if you remember in the story of Dvora, that they attack Sisra, but there is one tribe, there's a tribe, or at least one, that does not enter into the battle. And they were muflag, they kept away. Who is that? Reuven. Leflogas Reuven, we are told, Gdolim Chikrelev. It's something that you have to analyze. That's the Pashup Shot. Like, we have to go ahead and try to understand why did Reuven not participate. But Chazal are making a drasha, Gdolim have Chikrelev. What defines maturity? It's not your size, not the size that matters. It is the what? It's the chikre lev. It's the ability to understand, to analyze. There's a mental maturity that is expected to consider someone a gadol. And therefore, what he said is, adain lo higia leflogos Reuven. He did not reach a maturity of Reuven. Shenemar leflogos Reuven gedolim chikre lev. Others say that the girsa is not that that minor did not reach chikre lev, but rather it means we didn't reach Chikrelev. In other words, it could be that even a minor, if he has a full understanding, just as we find with vows, and we found that you have a mufla samach leish, that there are circumstances where a minor's word is taken into consideration, we don't have the ability to go ahead and figure out such a thing, and we don't make decisions based on mental maturity, but rather we look at the age. We look at the age. Okay, so there are different circumstances, a lot of drushes here that connected to Reuven, but this is what happens here. Omar Rabba Barav Huna. Okay, so this is the Rabba Barav Huna that was mentioned earlier and rejected. Amaslo Sha'amru, he is of the opinion that you could take into consideration in Amaslo, even Afil Mikan Vadasura Yomim, even 10 days later. Rav Zvid Omar, come on. Rav Zvid says that doesn't work. Bimokom Amaslo, or he actually is adding, and he says that even if you don't have an Amaslo, but you could insert in Amaslo, you could creatively put some information into the picture to undo the rumor, that works as well. So it's more of a chiddush, okay? Because Rabba Barav Huna just says that you have a grace period to add the Amaslo. Rav Zvid said that you could even use your creativity. Rav Zvid Omar, b'mokom Amaslo, even if there's makom, even if there's room for an Amaslo, choshishin la'amaslo. Now, Eisve Rav Papa or Rav Zvid. Rav Papa, keep this in mind, Rav Papa seems to be questioning what Rav Zvid says, because the language of what we've been told up until now is Ubilvat Shelote Hesham Amaslo. The language indicated not that there is room for you to somehow, with some creativity, put an Amaslo into it. The language seems to be that there has to be actually something within the rumor itself that's undoing it. Okay, Shelot Hesham Amaslo. Amar Lei, no. What you could say, and this is how Rav Zvid is going to defend himself, Bemokom Amaslo Komar. What this tradition, which we have, is you have to have an Amaslo, means that there's room to put in Amaslo. Now, Rav Papa seems to be questioning this idea that we could use our own creativity to put in something there to break the rumor. But Rav Kahana is going to ask Rav Papa, Amale Rav Kahana Rav Papa, Va'at lo tisbara. Don't you agree with this idea? I'll show you that even you have to agree. And it works as follows. We had in Yevamis, if you do remember, a situation of a woman. She goes overseas with her husband. She comes back without the husband. We assume the husband is no longer her husband. She marries someone else. The husband comes back. And it's the Gehakta Tsaris that we learned there in the Mishnah Yevamos, Vatznan, and we learned there like this. Niskatsho, she marries husband number two, Vacharkach Babalo, but Baruch Hashem, look at the language here. She doesn't marry husband number two. She just went through the stage of Kiddushin. So there is not actual physical relationship, but rather only the Kiddushin. So you can take a sigh of relief. You have a breath here that indicates that it's not so much of a crisis, because in such a case, Muteres Lachzor, she could return to her first husband. Now, clearly, if she received Kiddushin from husband number two, that's the greatest rumor of all, right? That she's, and for you to go ahead and just, okay, don't worry about it, go. Well, what about everyone seeing that she got Kiddushin from husband number two? How is that ignored? How on earth is that ignored? Right? Our whole discussion is about a rumor. This is much more than a rumor. How is it ignored? Lav mishum d'amri. You know what you assume? You assume the following. That the husband and wife were in a faraway country. And then she had to come home. He was stuck there. He was stuck there. And unfortunately, they love one another. And he gave her a get. And he says to her the following, I'm giving you a get on your divorce. But if by any chance I'm able to get out of here, get out of Siberia, and join you in Eretz Israel, the get is nothing. Okay? So what you are doing basically is that when the husband shows up, you are making up in a matla. So what does that indicate? That with some creativity, you do make up in a matla. So therefore, you, Rav Papa, believe that it's impossible to be making one up. The Mishnah seems to indicate that we do work with such a system. Lav mishum d'amrinon, in other words, the reason we are not concerned about the kiddushin of husband number two is because we say, al tnai kodish, that it must be that there was a tnai. Okay? So Gemara says, no. Don't compare the two, Rav Papa says. Shani hasam, there is different. The osi baal vekame arer. In other words, there's a difference between trying to undo a rumor with no meat and undoing a rumor with the presence of a husband. When the husband shows up, that indicates to everyone that the kiddushin of number two is absolutely zero. So the comparison between rumors and undoing rumors to a situation where the husband actually returns is not comparable at all. Fractamore, wait a second. If you're telling me that when the husband shows up, you're able to undo everything, so why do we give an allowance for her to return to husband number one only if there was only kiddushin from husband number two? Iyachi nises nami. If so, even if she marries another husband, we'll know that it was a mistake and it was an onus. The Gemara says, no, nises, the ovra isura. In other words, for her to actually marry, right, another husband, and she has the responsibility of doing research that the first husband is no longer alive and she didn't do it, so in some ways, she violated what is expected from her. Kansur Rabban and the rabbis penalized her. Niskacha, the law of the Yisrael, when there's kiddushin, which is not really a violation, so in such a case, loy kansur rabonon. Okay. Om Ravashi says Ravashi kol kolo de lo itchazek bebeidin alav kolo. So Ravashi adds, and this is something that we have to add to our list, when is it considered a call? Not by people just talking about it, but rather it has to be that the courts are the ones that look into it. Extremely important statement, and this is halacha. When is a rumor? When a beis din looked into it. Let's keep that in mind. V'omer Ravashi, so to Ravashi says, kolo de basar nisuin lo chashin alei. If she already got married, ignore the call. Even a court, they don't look into it. She's married, shalom al Yisrael. Now, Ravashi seems to indicate that had the basar nisuin chashin alei, that if it's only after erusin, we would take into consideration. But Rav Chaviva, omer afilu de basar erusin, nami lo chashin alei ve'ilchsan lahal. Even after erusin loy chashin ala. Okay. Omer le Rabbi Yirmiyah bar Abba. So Rabbi Yirmiyah bar Abba says shochul me bei Rav leShmuel. So from the Beis Medrash of Rav, most probably after the passing of Rav, his talmidim had a question, and they sent to Shmuel. Now remember what cities we're talking about here. It's a question sent from Surah Tenahardaa, from the city that is comfortable to be mevatel akol to a city that does not mevatel akol. Very interesting historically. Yilamdenu Rabbeinu. They asked Shmuel the following question. Yotzele Okay, let's say there's a rumor about that she is engaged to person number one. Uba acher vekicha, and number two comes and he does it in front of witnesses. Kiddushei Torah, mau, what's the halacha? So now comes the question, do we take into consideration the fact that there are rumors about husband number one? Do we ignore it and just say that she's married to husband number two? Shalachlu, so the response was teitze, you know, you can't allow her to live with husband number two. Ve'he'eminu he'emidu hadovar al boryo, and try to research the matter. Now, what does that mean? And vehodiuni, and then inform me. In other words, keep me posted after your research. You have to do some research. Now, what exactly is the research that is expected here? What does that mean? Mai ilema, if you want to say dimiglo milso de kiddusha kamo lav kiddusha ma'alianinu mevatin kala, if what Shmuel is saying is the following, that if you could verify that the kiddushin of number one had some issues with it, that there are no good witnesses that you could trace the information to, and if indeed that's the case, nullify the rumor, Can that be what Shmuel is saying? That you nullify a rumor? You can't, because v'nahardo asrei de Shmuel. Nahardo is the town of Shmuel. V'lo mevatlina an kolo. And in Nahardo, as we know, they are not mevatel a kol. So it can't be. So what does it mean? Elo, rather, de igmiglo milso de kidusha kama kidusha ma'alininu. If you could verify that the first one was a fact, so then number two is nothing. Let's yurcho get misheni. Now, this would seem to disagree with a belief, right, and in some cases a halacha, that if a woman who has the status of married receives kiddushin from another man, you do have to take it into consideration, because we assume that if she's actually married, she wouldn't have the stomach or guts to go ahead and do it. If she's receiving kiddushin from someone else, that would seem to indicate that she's been released from her first husband. So this pligi de Rav Huna, dam Rav Huna, she sees she pashed the other v'kibla kiddushin ma'achar mekudeshes, that you assume she's mekudeshes from what Rav Huna taught. Rav Huna says ha'isha she'amra lebala girshtani ne'emenes. So this is something we'll see. Just an interesting Tosfos had a fascinating. We'll end with a fascinating story that Tosfos has, and it's a true story. So we are told ma'ase. It's a top Tosfos here. There was once a story that Rabbeinu Tam had to deal with a woman that she yotza alea kol achar nisoea, that after she's married, there's a rumor that she previously was married to someone else, but it happened to be that the person the rumor is about, right, Shimon, again, so she marries Reuven under a chuppah, photography, shmorg, everything. And then there are rumors that Shimon is the actual husband, because Shimon married her a few weeks before. But looking through the photographs of the wedding, you know who they see at the wedding? Shimon was there. Okay? So Rabbeinu Tam says, you don't have to worry about this for two reasons. Reason number one, after marriage, what were we told? Ignore rumors. Number two, Rav Hamnuna teaches us, right, the rule that a woman is not going to receive kiddushin in front of her husband. If she was indeed married to Shimon, she's not going to be mekabel kiddushin from Reuven. Okay, so you're going to fill in, or we're going to fill in the tomorrow's daf Yom Yisrael that we did not complete the sugya, but it's a short daf tomorrow, and mazel tov to all those who are completing a masechta gittin, a shkach to everyone. And keep up the good work, and a good day.